Well, it's good to be together again this morning. And I'm amazed at how God works and speaks to us in our lives. And for me, that's been happening actually at our Wednesday morning staff devotions. For some reason, God's been able to get through to me just a number of the last times we were together in some different ways. And this past week, someone talked for a while. We had one of the board members in again, and he talked for a little bit and then just read 1 Corinthians 13. And the passage got through to me in some ways that were pretty incredible that I want to just share with you this morning. So you're going to have to just put up with listening to what God's been doing in my own heart this morning. As I've looked deeper into this passage, a number of things that really jumped out and grabbed me. And the title of my message is this: The Greatest of All is Love. And most of us remember, or we can identify with what it's like when we're experiencing love in our relationships. For some of us, that might have been a fleeting moment when we were 6 or 7 or 8. And we found this person that we fell madly in love with, and life was grand. And that passed, and then someone else came on the scene later on. But most of us can identify with that. As I was thinking about that, I remembered one day my sister and I were standing in our living room looking out of our patio window, and she began to describe to me how beautiful our woods looked at the time, that we could see out of our back patio window. And I remember looking at her like something is really strange here for two reasons. One is we didn't talk like that at our house and talk about how beautiful the woods was and the leaves, how beautiful the leaves were. We didn't talk like that. And second of all, the woods didn't look any different to me than it did the day before or the week before or the month before. But to her, it looked different because she was experiencing love in her life like she had never experienced before. And through the years, I've heard people talk about, oh, wasn't the day gorgeous today? Or we look at life differently when we're experiencing love in our relationships. Someone has said this: the loneliest place in the world is the human heart when love is absent. And that is so true. The loneliest place in the world is the human heart when love is absent. And we thrive on love as people. We really do. In fact, the Bible talks about love being the greatest thing that we've ever experienced. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to talk a little bit about the background coming in to 1 Corinthians 13. In chapter 12, well, throughout the first 12 chapters, actually, of Corinth, Paul is dealing with issues that the Corinthian church was facing. And if you page through the first 12 chapters there, he talks about a number of things. He talks about is one is secretarianism, and that's when we say, well, and we know those verses well, where Paul says, there's people in Corinth that were saying, well, I'm following Paul, and others were saying, no, I'm following Apollos, and other people were saying, no, I'm following Jesus, and they begin to have divisions. So Paul addressed those, and he addresses a number of different things that the Corinthian church was facing. And then in chapter 12, he begins talking about the whole thing of gifts and how God gives us different gifts, and the Corinthian church was struggling with that. And Paul in chapter 12 also talks about how, and he gives an analogy of that, is the human body. There's different parts, there's different members, and yet we all function together as one body, as one unit. We function together, and Paul likens the gifts that we have in the Christian church as individual people Paul is saying that's it's functioning like a body. You're to function like a body. There's differences, and yet there's not one that is more important than another. And the church at Corinth was saying, yeah, there's certain gifts here that are more important, and we need to focus on these in greater ways than some of the other gifts. And it actually sounds a lot like our churches today and a lot of our denominations today. As you go to one, there's a stronger emphasis on this, and this is what's most important. And another denomination says, no, that's not true. This is what is most important for us to follow through with. And Paul sets things straight. I want to, just before I get into chapter 13, I want to read from verse 25 of chapter 12, where he says this. Paul puts some things in proper perspective here. He says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And then he says this, and God has appointed these in the church. And he sort of sets in order what the Corinthian church was struggling with. He said, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the obvious answer to that is no. Not everyone is going to do all these things. And then he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And really what he's saying is, I want you to desire all that God has for you in your lives. Everything, the best gifts that God can pour into your life. That's what you should be seeking after. That's what you should be going after. But there's something that's greater than that I want to introduce to you. And then he goes into chapter 13, where I'm going to break this down into three sections. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, where he says, he starts out in verse 1 saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, or really just emptiness. Most of us are aware of what just an empty, hollow, beating sound does to us. It grates on our nerves. It makes us go crazy. I was listening to someone practice an instrument one time that I wish they would have just been quiet, because there wasn't anything good coming out of that, and it made me frustrated to sit there and just listening to that hollow-sounding thing. And really, that's what we are as Christian people if love isn't flowing from our life. Paul's saying, I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I can have the best gift of communication in men's words. I can speak in tongues, as the Bible talks about, in the language of the heavenly. And unless my life is permeated with love, I'm nothing more than just a hollow-sounding instrument that grates on our nerves. And that's what Paul's talking about there in verse 1. And then he goes on, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And really, Paul is addressing in the first three verses here exactly what he was talking about in verse 28 and 29 in the chapter before. He's talking about speaking. And that covers where he's talking about apostles and prophets and teachers. And then he talks about prophecy, and that covers that parts of that as well. And then he also talks about, I can bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and that's the gift of helps. And so he's addressing what he was in the verses before and said, unless our lives are permeated by love, those things are nothing. And really what these what Paul is saying in these verses, and it can be backed up throughout Scripture, is genuine love. And I'm going to put the word genuine in there because we can get sidetracked with what love really is. And I want to talk about that a little bit later on. But genuine love is really our spiritual barometer for our lives. I talked about how we can get sidetracked in things as denomination and churches and people. And we can say, well, if you don't do this, then you're not very spiritual. And Paul is saying, actually, the barometer by which you judge whether you're spiritual or not is by how much you love other people. And 1 John, there's a number of verses in 1 John that support that as well. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Chapter 3, verse 14 in 1 John, "For we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death." And we, by the way, we can substitute family and friends and all kinds of other words in there for that word brother. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." We can come up with all kinds of spiritual barometers in our lives, and this is what hit me Sunday morning as we were just reading through that passage of Scripture. We can come up with all kinds of things that determine whether we're spiritual or not, whether we speak in tongues or whether we prophesy or whether we pray right. And the list goes on, the things that we come up with in our lives by which we determine our spirituality and how spiritual we really all are. And Paul cuts right through all of that and says, let me tell you what really determines your spirituality. If you want something to measure your spiritual life by, it's by how much you have love for the people around you. That's a pretty staggering thing. Because I don't know about you, but if the greatest thing in the world is love, I have to be honest and say the greatest thing that I struggle with is loving other people. The people that I rub shoulders with, the people that I'm in contact with every day. But yet that's what determines whether I'm spiritual or not. And we can look at our lives and say, how well am I doing spiritually by how well I'm loving people? The people around me. We have a tendency to fall in the same trap that the Corinthians did and say, well, no, this is what makes me more spiritual or that. But it's really determined by our love. Paul then goes on in verses 4 through 7 and he describes love. The description of what genuine love is. Love suffers long and is kind. You know, sometimes we run into people and we say, there's people that we know that we say, why do they always do that? Like, why do they always do that? I wish they would just get over it. Because what they do bug us. And yet Paul is saying, if we really love someone, we're going to overlook some of that. We're going to suffer. We're going to be long-suffering with them. Love does not envy. If something happens to James and I don't become jealous of that because I'm his friend, I love him as a person. I don't become envious of what's going on in his life. It does not parade itself. Actually, that word parading itself, it's different translations, but really what it boils down to, in different translations it says different things, but really what it boils down to is we don't go bragging about ourselves. If we love someone, we don't brag about what we do to other people. We're more concerned about them. It's not puffed up. It's not arrogant or proud by what's happening in our own lives. Then it also says it does not behave rudely. We're not rude to another person. And it also says does not seek its own, or it doesn't seek our own way. And this is actually something that jumped out at me. Another way of interpreting that is we don't love for what we get in return. And so often, I find myself loving people for what I know I'll get in return. Because if I love someone, most times they're going to love me back. Or they'll appreciate me in greater ways, in deeper ways. Or I realize if I love someone, if I pour out love on someone, I'm not going to be lonely. Because I'll be able to to have a relationship with them, and it'll take care of the loneliness that I feel in my own heart. But love is not for our own good. Our love, genuine love, is for the good of the other person, and we pour into the lives of the other person. It's not easily provoked. I talked a little bit about that. It thinks no evil. I have to tell a story here that I'm actually really embarrassed by. Back a little while ago, I was in a situation where I was observing a number of things that were going on. And as I observed that, what was happening over a number of days, I began to draw a conclusion about a person. And I had it all down pat, perfectly. I knew exactly what was going on. I knew what the person was doing and why he was doing it. And I had it all down pat. I was thinking evil of the person. Come to find out, none of it was true. That's pretty embarrassing. But the truth is, if we love someone, we're not going to fall into those kind of traps. We're not going to think evil of those kind of a person because we love them. And we won't think evil of someone without a reason to, without knowing. We don't fall into those kind of traps. Does not rejoice in iniquity. We don't rejoice when something happens to someone else. I've already said when something happened to someone, you know, it serves them right. Or they dug their own grave. We say those kind of things. They made their own bed and they need to lay in it. And we sort of rejoice in the iniquity that happens to other people because in some way it makes us feel better. True love, genuine love, does not rejoice when something happens, bad happens to someone else, the iniquity that happens to some other person, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things. That actually has the idea of covering to protect. I might find something out about Stanley. And I don't go repeat that to someone else. I cover it to protect Stanley and what's going on. That's where a lot of gossip comes in our circles. We don't love very well when we don't cover what we know to protect a person. It bears all things. It believes all things. I believe in the person that I'm loving. You know, sometimes more, I've had this happen in my life, and it's actually, I've told you the story before, that there's a number of people that I attribute where I'm at today to. And one of the reasons is those people believed in me when I did not believe in myself. They believed more for me than what I believed I could accomplish in my life. And they believed, we hear phrases like, I'll never change, or I can't change, I've done everything I can to change, and I can't do it. But true love is able to look at that person and say, yes, you can. I believe that you can be more than what you are today. We believe in the other person even more than what they believe in themselves. True love, genuine love, believes in the other person, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. We have hope for the other person and endures all things. Endures all things, really, in summing it up, and I could go into Greek words, but just it in a nutshell is this. We stay in relationship no matter the hurt or the pain that we're caused. We continue to stay in relationship. We endure that because we love the person in spite of what might happen. And then Paul goes on, and just with some continuing thoughts in 8 through 13, where he says, love never fails. I have written in my Bible, Genuine love always works. It always works. It never fails. True love, genuine love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. I just lost my place here. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The gifts that we are given are imperfect for now. That's just how it is. We live in an imperfect world. We're operating with imperfection. But one day, things will be perfect. And that's when we get to heaven. And as I studied this, there's a lot of debate about what is meant by that, and I'm not going to go into it. But one day, the things that we experience here on this earth will know imperfection. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I've always wondered why that verse is in there, because it doesn't seem to make sense with the rest of the passage. But as I dug into it, I don't know if this is what Paul is referring to. Some commentators would agree with me, and others would disagree with me very strongly. So I'm going to tell you what I think, and actually let you make the judgment, or the Holy Spirit in you. But Paul is actually talking about speaking, understanding, and thinking, which reverts back to verses 1 through 3, which I just talked about, which those verses actually refer back to chapter 12. So it seems like a little bit of what Paul is saying is, when I was young in my faith, I operated as a child. And we know, and if you put that all the way through, what Paul is dealing with is the fact that the Corinthians were saying, if you don't be this way or act this way, you're not quite right, and I'm not going to associate you with you, is really what the Corinthian church was dealing with. And how childish is that? How many have heard your children, or maybe you've said it yourselves when you were a child, if you don't play like I want you to play, I'm going to pick up my toys and I'm going to go home and I'm not going to play with you anymore. I've heard that said a lot, and I probably said it when I was a child. It was the kind of thing I did at those days. But Paul is saying, and so what it seems like Paul is referring to is you in the Corinthian church, even though you're claiming to be spiritual or acting, and Paul said, I did too. Where we go through life saying, if you don't believe or act or play like I do, then I'm not going to associate with you anymore. I won't have anything to do with you. In fact, you can go find some other friends to play with, because I'm not going to play with you anymore. And Paul is saying, that's how I used to be in regards to these things. I used to say, if you didn't speak in tongues quite right, or you didn't prophesy quite right, or you didn't do this or that quite right, then I wasn't going to have anything to do with you anymore. And Paul says, but when I became a man, I put away childish behavior. I'm no longer going to act like that, and I'm no longer going to fall into the trap of playing those games, because we do that as children, not as adults. And how many of us in our churches today do the exact same thing? Where we're continuing to live our lives as children by saying, this is what is important, and that is important. And if you don't do this or that, I will no longer associate with you. I won't have anything to do with you anymore. And that's why we have what I said a number of weeks ago down in when we were at Starla and I were at that seminar, and I don't remember the numbers, but there was something like 42 different denominations there, and 28 of them or something were Baptist, versions of Baptist. That's how we end up with those kind of things. And the truth is, I think way too many of us, me included, continue to live our lives in childish ways by saying, hey, if you don't speak in tongues like I do, then you better find some other place to go to church, because you don't belong here anymore. Or if you don't prophesy like I do, if you can't preach the way I think you should be preaching, then you find some other place to go to church. And Paul is saying, sometime we have to grow up as Christians and live as adults, not as children. And I don't know about you, but that hits pretty close home to me, because I've done those very same things in my life where I've said, hey, I can't go to church with you anymore. And there's obviously, there's going to be times where we have to make shifts. I'm not saying that. But so often it's over the little things. It's that you're not playing with my car the way I want you to play with my car. And so I'm going to take my car and I'm going to go home. Paul says, no, I don't. I want you to move beyond that as Christian people. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And what he's referring to is the polished bronze mirrors that they were used to in their days. And we know what it's like to look into something that's not a true mirror today. It's just sort of shady. We can't see very well. And he says, right now we're looking at all this stuff through a mirror like that, but someday we're going to be seeing face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, just as also I am known. In verse 13, he wraps up and says this, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And really what he's saying, when all this is boiled down, and he goes on in 14 then and continues talking about it, but when this is all boiled down, there's three things that come out of it that are important, and that's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. I don't know. I know in my own life I have a long ways to go when it comes to love. And if that's the barometer by which we need to measure our lives, that's a pretty sobering thought. It's a pretty sobering thing for us to consider. I often find myself still thinking and acting like a child. If this doesn't happen, if that doesn't happen, then I need to find some other place to be, or you do. I came across a poem in closing that I liked. It says, they say the world is round, and yet I often think it's square. So many little hurts we get from corners here and there. But there's one truth in life I found while journeying east and west. The only folks we really wound are those we love the best. We flatter those we scarcely know. We please the fleeting guest and deal full many a thoughtless blow to those we love the best. And sometimes that's in my family and my friends, but sometimes that's in my church people as well, the friends here at church. That's where we end up dealing the most blows to those people. We can have all the right theology. We can have all the perfect gifts. But in the end, none of it matters. None of it matters if we don't have love for each other as people. That's the bottom line. That's the measure of our spirituality as Christians. And I hope, I don't know. God's been speaking to my heart in that area, and I hope He can continue to speak to us as a congregation, because we can have it all right, all wrong, and be all wrong, because we don't have love for each other. Let's pray. Father, You've called us. As people who claim to be children of Yours, to love those around us. And God, I confess this morning that I don't do that very well sometimes. I don't care about the person on the street sometimes. I don't care sometimes about the person that I sit in the pews with on Sunday morning. And Lord, sometimes I don't care very well about my family either. And yet you remind us that when we don't love, your love is not dwelling in us. And Lord, I don't know what all that means for us here this morning. But Lord, I pray that you would teach us what it means to love, to reach out, to be long-suffering, to be forbearing, to believe and to hope in people way beyond what they can believe and hope for in themselves. Lord, you've called us to so much. I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.